الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في اخر سورة آل عمران اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان في خلق السماوات والارض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب الى قوله تعالى فالذين هاجروا واخرجوا من ديارهم واوذوا في سبيلي وقاتلوا وقتلوا لو كفرن عنهم سيئاتهم ولو ادخلنهم جنات تجري من تحتها الانهار ثوابا من عند الله والله عنده حسن الثواب صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعصمنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه امين يا رب العالمين. In the last session, you must be remembering, we completed our discussion about the first ayah of this lesson. What was the essence? The essence of the first ayah is that the faith in Allah, in belief in Allah, can be achieved only through nature. Not any discursive reasoning, not any logical reasoning. Knowledge and love of Allah is inherent in human spirits and souls. Only we forget Allah, that's all. And we can be reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by invitation towards the signs of Allah in the whole of universe. All these physical phenomena, all these creatures and ayat are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His existence, His presence, His omnipotence, His omniscience, His wisdom, these are the signs. We believe Allah on the basis of these signs. But next step, Iman bil Akhirah. Now here is a reasoning. Quran has employed the moral argument of Mr. Kant in support of Iman bil Akhirah. We were reading the ayah, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ. Now those people who have known Allah, who have come to believe Allah, now they keep Allah in mind. They keep the remembrance of Allah continuously in all conditions, all states, standing, sitting and lying on their sides. And then they are thinking more and more about this universe, about this creation. They reach a conclusion, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. All this creation is not without any purpose. It's not a meaningless creation. It's a meaningful, purposeful creation. Not even the blade of grass is without any purpose. It has a purpose of its own. It serves a purpose of its own in the greater scheme of things. Now, because we find in our nature the moral law within, in the words of Kant, that we know that something is good, something is bad, something is evil. This moral law within us, if we see to the world the conditions around us, this moral law is not functioning. We find that people who follow the moral rules, who are truthful, who don't go astray, who are not ready to deceive others, they are in difficulties. Maybe they find it difficult to have 2 square meals a day. People who cheat others, who tell lies, who exploit others, they are in comforts, in luxuries. This is what is happening actually. What it means? This world is complete as far as the physical laws are concerned. But it is incomplete as far as the moral life is concerned. So there should be another life. Some day of judgment. Some place where evil should beget evil. Good should beget good. Those who have committed good deeds, devoted themselves for the service of humanity, they should be rewarded accordingly. Those who have done harm to the humanity at large. There have been Hitlers and Chinggis Khans and Attilas and Huns, all these people. What they did? Massacre of whole nations. Millions and millions of people dead. They must be rewarded somewhere. They must be punished accordingly and proportionately to their evils, evil deeds. And there are people, there have been people who dedicated themselves to the service of humanity. For example, let us think of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most intelligent person, the most capable person human race has ever produced. What did he get? Fires not burning in his home and hearts for several days together. That was what he had in this world. There should be some world. There should be some reward. There should be some other life. This is actually the logic here. Quran uses this moral law to affirm and ascertain that there is going to be resurrection after death. All humanity will be brought to the book. Every human soul will have to face the grand accountability of the day of judgment. Everyone would have to stay and stand before his Lord and be responsible for his deeds. Not only deeds, even every word that he uttered. And then he will be rewarded accordingly. As I narrated sometimes back, one of the earliest sermons of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَاللَّهِ لَتَمُوتُنَّ كَمَا تَنَامُونَ, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll all die just as you go to sleep every evening, every night. ثُمَّ لَتُبْعَثُنَّ كَمَا تَسْتَيْتِزُونَ, then you will be resurrected just as you get up. You awake every morning. ثُمَّ لَتُحْسَبُنَّ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, then there will be an accounting of your deeds. You'll be held responsible for whatever you are doing. ثُمَّ لَتُجْزَوُنَّ بِالْإِحْسَانِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِالسُّوءِ سُوءًا, and then you will be rewarded. Good reward for good deeds. Bad punishment for bad deeds. وَإِنَّهَا لَجَنَّةٌ أَبَدًا أَوْ لَنَارٌ أَبَدًا, and what is that? Either paradise and heaven forever, or the fire of hell forever. One of the earliest sermons of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now actually this is الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ, glory to you. It doesn't become of you that you do something without any purpose. This sense of this moral law within us cannot be purposeless. You have created this moral law within us. You have given us the consciousness of evil and good, the differentiation between evil and good. If you have given us, then there should be some results coming out of this differentiation that we have within our own selves. And that is actually the day of judgment. Subhanaka faqina azab an-nar. So, O our Lord, O our Sustainer, please save us from the punishment of fire, of the hell, in the hereafter. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ. O our Lord, O our Sustainer, O our Provider, whomsoever you put and make enter the hell, فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ, you have dishonored him, disgraced him. That will be the biggest disgrace for any human soul, to be sent to the hell. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ, and we know it, there will be no helpers to those evildoers. No succor, no help. Just as we said in Surah Fatiha, مَالِكَ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, he is the owner, he is the sole authority on the day of judgment. No one will be able to intercede, no one will be able to save the culprits. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ, these evildoers will have no helpers. They will not get any help from any side.
they will be punished. Now comes the third iman, that is Rasul, iman bil risala. We can imagine, you know, as I've been saying, the Luqmans had the call of any messenger of Allah reached the ears of Luqman, would he have not responded instantaneously, accepting his call? So that is the condition here. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ. Oh our Lord, oh our benefactor, oh our sustainer, oh our provider. We listened, we heard the call of a caller towards faith. He was making a proclamation. أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ. Have faith in your Rabb, your Lord, your Creator, your Provider, your Sustainer. فَآمَنَّا. We came to believe. We attested. We accepted their call. We have come to faith. We have come to believe. We have accepted the call. We have accepted the faith. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. This munadi, the person making a call for iman, he can be a messenger of Allah, but he can be a messenger of the messenger of Allah. Please listen to me. These were the words used by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took bay'ah from the Sahaba, from the companions at Hudaybiyah, bay'ah to Rizwan. Then when he returned to Medina, he asked the Muslim women to assemble at one place and sent Hazrat Umar, take the bay'ah on my behalf from the women also. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to that congregation of women to get the bay'ah on behalf of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? Ana rasoolu rasoolillahi. I am the messenger of the messenger of Allah. Allah sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad has sent me. In the same way, these words were used by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself for Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. When he was sending him to Yemen as the governor of Yemen, Amil. Then there was a conversation which is very famous. What will you do when there is some dispute? It comes before you. How will you decide? He said, well, I'll look to the book of Allah. I'll decide according to the book of Allah. Then the Prophet asked, if you don't find anything in the book of Allah, then what will you do? Then I'll try to remember some of your judgments, so your sunnah. The third question, if you don't find, don't remember, you don't know any of my decisions, no precedents from me, then what will you do? Then he said, summa ajtahidu, then I'll try my best. I'll try my best to fulfill the correct judgment according to the book and the sunnah. The Prophet then he said, Alhamdulillah, God be thanked that He has given the messenger of Allah this correct understanding. So he was the messenger of the messenger of Allah. So everybody who is calling people towards faith is a messenger of Allah now. And actually the whole ummah should become the messengers of the messenger of Allah. Allah sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He conveyed to us the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now it's our duty to convey that message. The whole ummah should become the messenger of the messenger of Allah. And that is the essence of the ayah. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. We shall be discussing this ayah in a later lesson, inshallah. But here don't think that it is only concerning the messengers of Allah. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ. Whosoever is proclaiming. You know, Hazrat Mus'ab bin Umair was sent to Medina. He preached Islam to the people at Medina. They embraced Islam at the hands of Mus'ab رضي الله تعالى عنه. The Prophet himself had not even went to Medina till that time. So actually, any caller towards the path of Allah, ادعو الى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي احسن. But the people who are good natured, who have potential iman in them, now because they have the good nature and they are using their intellect, الذين يعقلون ولو الالباب,
when they listen to a caller towards faith, they respond positively, instantaneously.
رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا.
So, O our Lord, forgive for us our shortcomings, our faults, our sins of the past, what we have been doing out of ignorance, what we have committed, any sins. Zunubana. Wa kaffir anna sayyatana. This is the word kaffir, and we discuss this word. Erase them, efface them. Because you know our sayyat, it has two meanings. The bad things in our characters, please efface and cleanse us of the bad effects. And also the bad blots on our, you know, record, past record. Efface them, erase them, please. وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا. The evils that we have been committing up till now. وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. And give us the death of the righteous people. Our end should be with your righteous bondsmen. Give us the company. Now just remember the ayah that we discussed yesterday. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Whosoever takes to total obedience of Allah and total obedience of His Messenger, they will get the company of those upon whom the grace of Allah came. And they are the prophets, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Saliheen. The same here in a prayer. وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. O Allah, our end should be, when we die, we should be included in those people upon whom your grace came. الَّذِينَ أَنَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. In Surah Fatiha we request, lead us to the path, or lead us on the path of those people upon whom your grace came. And now, in this prayer, please, give us the company after our death. The company of the Anbiya and Siddiqeen and Shuhada and Saliheen. وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. رَبَّنَا وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَىٰ رُسُلِكَ. O our Lord, give us, grant us, whatever you promised to us, through your prophets, through your messengers, you promised to the believers that you will enter them, make them enter paradise. You promised you will forgive their shortcomings. These promises you made. But رَبَّنَا وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا. Give us, grant us. Whatever you promised us, وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَىٰ رُسُولِكَ, through your messengers. وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And O our Lord, don't put us to disgrace on the day of judgment. This khizyun fil hayati dunya wal akhirah, this disgrace in this world and the hereafter. Here yawm al qiyamah, don't disgrace us. Don't put us to disgrace and shame on the day of judgment. Innaka la tukhliful mi'ad. Verily, you never go back on your words. You never break your promises. What does it mean? We have no doubt that you will break your promises. But we have doubt whether we shall prove ourselves equal to that promise or not. Maybe we don't come up equal to the promises. We don't fulfill the conditions of the promises. So we are concerned on that way, on that account. Not that we think that you will not fulfill your promise. إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ. We believe, we have the full faith that you are not going to break your promise or go back on your words. No. But the fear is, you might not prove equal to it. By these words I remember a saying of the founder of Pakistan, Muhammad Ali Jinnah. He once said, God has given us a golden opportunity to prove our work as architects of a new state. And let it not be said, that we didn't prove equal to the task. Very beautiful words. And we proved that we were not equal to the task. We couldn't take care of Pakistan. In less than a quarter of a century, it split into two. That Pakistan which came into existence in 1947 doesn't exist anymore. It is what we call for some time what remains of Pakistan. Now we are contented to call it Pakistan. And what is going to happen again? I'm sorry. Conditions are not good. Because we didn't prove equal to the task. So this was only, you know, just because I recalled due to those words. Let it not be said that we didn't prove equal to the task. God gave us an opportunity, a very big country. The biggest Muslim country appeared on the surface of the world, on the map of the world. Biggest Muslim country of its time. But what happened to it? So actually here also, إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيَادِ. We don't doubt that you will go back on your words. You will break your promise. No, we are only fearing that we might not be able to prove equal to it. So then please, you compensate our shortcomings through your forgiveness. You erase our mistakes from our record. You efface the effects of our bad deeds from our nama-e-amal, from the record of our doings. And please, by your mercy, grant us the paradise on the Day of Judgment. Now here, the three, you know, levels of iman are complete. What was the essence of this lesson in this selected course of study? Iman billah is absolutely based on nature. No argument, no logical proof. There can be no scientific proof because science can deal with only the world of matter. And this is beyond and beyond. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wara'ul wara, summa wara'ul wara, summa wara'ul wara. He doesn't fall within the domain of science, physical sciences. But there can be no logical proof also, no logical argument, tenable. It's only that we have Him within us. Let me quote another very beautiful saying of the saint as well as sage of Alexandria. You might have heard Plotinus. Neoplatonism. One was the Plato of Greece, the disciple of Socrates. He is Plotinus of Alexandria. His philosophy, rather mysticism, is called Neoplatonism. And he says, as if Allah is saying, you would not have searched for me unless you had possessed me in the very beginning. You possessed me. You knew me. That is why you are searching for me. Human nature has inherent, ingrained search for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why have people been going to the deserts and mountains? What for? It was all search for the Creator. People going to wilderness. Why? A search on instinct. We want to know our Creator. You would not have searched for me unless you had possessed me in the very beginning. And Quran says so. We made that covenant before coming to this world. أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. The covenant made where we were still in the form of souls and spirits only, no bodies whatsoever. Before the bodily creation of Adam, alayhi salatu wassalam, all the souls or spirits of all the humans which came and which are to come in this world till the end of this world, they were gathered together. And there was a covenant. أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. Am I not your Lord? قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. And we all responded, why not? We accept you as our Lord. That covenant actually, you would not have searched for me unless you had possessed me in the very beginning. So Iman Billah is based on this. No scientific proof, no logical argument. But for Iman Bil Akhirah, you have a logical argument.
Because there is a feeling of good and evil, differentiation. Human nature makes a differentiation. Because we find there is nothing purposeless here. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. Now these are the two marifats. اِسْتِذَارُ الْمَعْرِفَتَيْنِ لِحُسُولِ مَعْرِفَةٍ أُخْرَى. What's the inevitable result? There must be some other life also. So that good begets what? Evil begets evil. And that is the life hereafter. And then when the messenger of Allah or a messenger of the messenger of Allah, when his call comes to the ears of such a person, they respond instantaneously, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنَا آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. This grand dua, this prayer, it just corresponds to the dua in the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. As I told you, the khawateem of Surah Al-Baqarah and khawateem of Surah Al-Imran, they are very close to each other, very similar to each other. And now in the last ayah, this is a long ayah, people who are ulul albab, people who are good natured, people who come to believe in Allah on the basis of their pure nature, people who respond instantaneously to the call of a messenger or a messenger of Allah or a messenger of the messenger of Allah, what would their character be like? Can they be hypocrites? Can there be any difference in what they say and what they practice? These are the cream of the human race. They are the best among the progeny of Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam. Their character would be, they will stand up, they will uphold the banner of justice and truth and righteousness. They will fight the forces of evil. They will even risk their lives to make the right reign and to make the word of Allah supreme. That is the only possible practical attitude or behavior of such people. This is depicted in one ayah. Immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ. Allah accepted their prayer, their request, granted their prayer, saying, أَنِّي لَا أُضِيُّ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ. That I am not going to make any of the deeds of any good doer amongst you, whosoever is doing any good. I'm not going to any of his actions, it might be smallest, go in vain. Now remember that ayah, the advice of Hazrat Luqman. يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِن تَكُ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُن فِي صَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهُ. Allah is not going to ignore even the smallest act or deed, whether it is equal to the weight of a grain of mustard seed. حَبَّةُ خَرْدَلٍ. It will not go in vain, it will not go in waste. أَنِّي لَا أُضِيُّ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنثَى. Whether he be male or he may be a female. In this regard, males and females are absolutely equal. There's no difference between men and women regarding the dignity. Human dignity shared equally. Moral status, absolutely equal. مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى بَعْضُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ. You are from one another. A daughter and a son, both from the same father, both from the womb of the same mother. What can be the difference between the two? بَعْضُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ. The difference is only of sexes, then that's all. He is also a full human being, she is also a full human being. The grace of being a human being, the dignity, human dignity, shared equally. and moral law applicable equally. If a woman earns something good, it's for her. If the man commits something good, the reward is for him. And the status of Hazrat Maryam, the status of Khadijatul Kubra, radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the status of Asiya, wife of Fir'aun, the status of Aisha, Fatima, radiyallahu ta'ala anha, can that status be less than the status of any man? If you have Siddiq Akbar, Abu Bakr, you have the Siddiqatul Kubra, Khadija, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. The first married child in Islam, a woman, Sumayya, and her husband, Yasir. Both martyred, first martyred in Islam. Both tortured like anything by Abu Jahl and then put to death, brutally. Equal. Making hijra. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his wife, Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, both making hijra. Going to Abyssinia. No difference. As regards good deeds, as regards the birr, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. Remember the ayah. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَآتَى الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. Can there be any difference between the males and the females? No. The difference is, we shall discuss it later when we study the family structure in Islam. In the institution of a family, the husband has the upper hand. Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. It's essential, because no human institution can have two heads equal, with equal authority. If there are two heads of an organization or institution, having the same authority, equal authority and power, there will be chaos, nothing else. You have to have one at the top. One managing director, one chairperson, one chairman, one head of the state, not two. There can be vice presidents. You may have hundreds of vice presidents. But the president can be one, not two. So that is actually a requirement of the organization. To have an organized family, a disciplined family, there must be one head, and the head is the husband. That's something which is from the point of view of administration and organization. Not that women are inferior to men. No, not at all. This ayah is very important in this respect. أَسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ أَنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنثَى بَعْضُكُمْ مِّن بَعْضٍ فَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَأُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأُوذُوا فِي سَبِيلِي وَقَاتَلُوا وَقُتِلُوا. Now please remember, this is one side of the picture of a mu'min. Ulul albab, those mu'min who have real faith, real iman, having the highest intellect, the purest nature, who attained iman by dint of their own nature and their own thinking. The call of the messenger came secondarily. They have themselves reached that place of iman billah and iman bil akhirah. Actually, the call of the messenger comes to them secondarily. Such people, you know, their character, their seerah, we shall find it has two sides. As you call, every picture has two sides. One side is given here, the other we shall find in the next lesson. That is the ayat-e-noor from Suratul Noor. So one side of the picture is jihad, qital, hijrah, exerting yourself to your utmost for the cause of truth, for the cause of haq, for the cause of the deen, for the cause of deen al-haq, for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ready to sacrifice everything. And here the beautiful words are, first of all, فَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا. So those people who made hijrah, وَأُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ, and they were turned out of their homes. Now because these are two words, two expressions, so some mufassirs
they tend to think that the first hijra means the essential hijra. And what is the essential and basic hijra? Please remember the most beautiful saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once he was asked a question, ayyul hijrati afzalu ya rasulullah, bil hijra, which of the hijra is supreme, most superior form of hijra, which one is it? The answer was, an tahjura ma kareha rabbuk, that you must leave everything that your Rabb dislikes. Any habit that he dislikes, give it up. Anything that you have, and you have come to know and realize that this is haram, give it away. Just as you wash your clothes of some impurity, wash it off. Throw it away if it is haram. أَن تَحْجُرَ مَا كَرِهَ رَبُّكَ. Everything that you come to know that is described by your Rabb, your Lord, get away from it. Leave it. What is hijra? Leaving something. Leave everything, every habit, which your Lord doesn't like. So hijra can begin today. Every one of us can begin hijra today in that sense. And this is afzalul hijra. The question was, ayyul hijrate afzalu ya Rasulullah? And the answer was, an tahjura ma kareha rabbuk. You keep away, you give up everything, every habit that your Lord doesn't like. And then the hijra, the actual hijra, leaving your homes and hearts, the country, the land of your ancestors, where your ancestors are lying buried. You people have also made hijra from your country, but for the sake of a better life. A better life in this world, not a better life hereafter. This is hijra for dunya. And there is hijra for dunya. I narrated to you the hadith of the Prophet, one of the most famous ahadith. Most of the muhaddiseen, they begin their collection of ahadith with this hadith, reported by Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innama al-amalu bin niyat, wa innama li kulli imrin ma nawa, fa man kanat hijratuhu ila Allah wa rasulihi, fa hijratuhu ila Allah wa rasulihi. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِلدُّنْيَا يُسِيبُهَا أَوِ امْرَاةٍ يَتَزَوَّجُهَا أَوْ يَنْكِحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Reported and accepted as authentic hadith, hadith sahih by Imam Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim, both of them. Whosoever is making hijrah for dunya, for this world, for wealth, for better living, or for some woman to marry her. They used to call one person Muhajiru Umme Qais. He loved Umme Qais, he wanted to marry her. She migrated to Medina, then he was also migrating. So he was making the hijra for Umme Qais. So Allah knows the intentions. So here hijra for Ladina Hajaru, number one. We can take it the essential hijra, the basic hijra. And then وَأُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ, and they were compelled to leave their homes and their countries and their cities. وَأُوذُوا فِي سَبِيلِي, and they were tortured in my way only because they believed in me, only because they were not ready to make it, to do and commit any shirk with me. Why was being Bilal beaten like anything, dragged like the dead body of animal in the streets of Makkah? A rope tied to his neck and being dragged. Why? Due to Tawheed. He used to say, even when he was made to lie on his back in the burning sun of Makkah, and a very big stone put on his chest, breathing became very difficult. Even then he used to say, the froth was coming out of his mouth. But he used to say, Ahadun Ahad, 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 it, one. Not going to believe in anyone else except one. Udu fi sabili. They were tortured for my sake, for believing
in my unity, my tawheed.
وَقَاتَلُوا وَقُتِلُوا and then the second phase came after Hijra, because this surah,
Al Imran, it is Madani. It was revealed after Hijra. Most of its part was revealed after the Battle of Uhud, in the third year after Hijra.
So Qital had begun, the armed conflict in the revolutionary process of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had started, the last phase of the revolutionary movement, revolutionary struggle. So the word Qital also, and they went to war for my cause. But Qutilu, and they were killed and martyred. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never gave them the guarantee, go and fight for me, you will not be killed. No. Qatalu wa Qutilu. There's another ayah in Surah At-Tawbah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّهُ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيَقْتُلُونَ وَيُقْتَلُونَ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already purchased from the Ahl-e Iman, from the believers, their bodies, their lives, their belongings, everything, in return of Jannah. So they are going to war for the cause of Allah, and they are killing the enemies of Allah, and they are being killed. It is going both ways. 70 of mushrikeen killed at Badr. 70 from Sahaba martyred in Uhud. The same number, exactly the same number. Although it was due to a mistake of the Muslims themselves. They left the place where the Prophet had commanded them to stay. The 50 archers. 35 of them left the place. Disobeyed the commander. They proved to be indisciplined. The punishment came immediately from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is counting this one side of the character of a mu'min of this stature. Ulul albab, the intellectuals, they are intellectuals as well as having pure natures. They reached iman billah by their own thinking. They reached iman bil akhirah through their own reasoning. Then they responded to the call of the Messenger of Allah, immediately, instantaneously, without taking any time, without hesitating for a second. Now such people, they have the character, فَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَأُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأُوذُوا فِي سَبِيلِي وَقَاتَلُوا وَقُتِلُوا. This is one side of the picture of the seerah of a mu'min. We must keep it before us as an ideal. At least, we should have some desire in our hearts to copy this picture. Some desire. There's a very beautiful couplet in Urdu of Allama Iqbal. I apologize to those brothers who don't know Urdu. There are a few brothers I'm seeing. But at least the majority, they can appreciate. Aarzu awwal to paida ho nahi sakti kahin. اور ہو جائے تو مر جاتی ہے یا رہتی ہے خام. Which arzu? This desire. The desire for better living never dies. It remains young. And it grows younger and younger. You are growing older and older, and the desire to have better living, it grows younger and younger. So there is another arzu, there is another desire to live for Allah, to die for Allah, to work for Allah. إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This desire. Iqbal says either it is never produced, or even if it is produced somewhere, if this desire, if it emerges sometime accidentally from the depths of the heart of a person, the environment doesn't give it any food, doesn't support it. There is no oxygen in the atmosphere for this plant to grow. So it dies down. Aarzu awwal to paida ho nahi sakti kahin. Aur ho jaye to mar jati hai ya rehti hai khaam. It never gets mature. May Allah give us that arzu.
And may he make it mature for us. So let us have that arzu, that desire in us, that we should become one of them. فَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَأُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأُوذُوا فِي سَبِيلِي وَقَاتَلُوا وَقُتِلُوا لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ. I shall definitely, without any doubt, efface and erase the evil from their records. To end is human. Even such people can commit a mistake sometimes. لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ. The same words. كَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. Oh Allah, whatsoever mistake we have committed out of some error of judgment, for example, out of some forgetfulness, for example, as there is a saying in Arabic, الْإِنسَانُ مُرَكَّبٌ مِنَ الْخَطَاءِ وَالنِّسْيَانِ. Human beings have two things with them integrally. They forget. Nisyan and khata, the error of judgment. You erred in your judgment. So Allah, if we have committed something wrong, out of nisyan, out of forgetfulness, or out of khata, error of judgment, please forgive us. And that is the promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making. لَوْكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ. Surely, definitely, without any doubt, I will erase or efface all the blots on their record of deeds. وَلَأُدْخِلَنَّهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. And I will surely and definitely, without any doubt, there's no mode of more emphasis in Arabic language than this. لَامِ مَفْتُوح لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ لَأُدْخِلَنَّ. The noon mushaddad in the end. لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ لَأُدْخِلَنَّ لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَلَأُدْخِلَنَّهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. And definitely, without any doubt, I'll make them enter the paradise, the gardens of paradise. تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ, beneath whom canals would be flowing. Sawabam min indillah. This will be a reward. Now there is an additional word, min indillah. It could be sawabam min Allah. So that translation would have been reward from Allah. But min indillah. A reward from the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is, so to say, to differentiate it, the level, degree. Sawabam min indillah. This is going to be a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but from His presence. A graceful reward, emanating out of His grace, His personal grace. Sawabam min indillah. What is sawab? It's very interesting to understand this word. Sawab is this cloth that I am wearing, sawab. The sob always corresponds to the body. Hence, the reward of an action is always corresponding to the action. It's just parallel, just corresponding to the action. Whatever the form of the body, the sob has to be cut and tailored according to it. So, sawab is just parallel and equal to the action itself, just in the manner as the sawb, the libas, the dress corresponds to the contours of the body. So this is sawab. This is the insight. This the Arabs call fiqhul lugha, the deep understanding of the language. Where from this word has come? What's the root? What's the basic? And the meaning of the root from which it has been derived. Sawab. The reward which is absolutely corresponding and equal to the action of which it is the reward. Sawabam min indillah. It will be a reward from the presence of Allah. a graceful reward, representing the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الثَّوَابِ. There is only Allah, اسلوب حصر, with whom is the best of the rewards. What does it mean? Every person is investing himself for something, for some cause. Please be attentive. Everybody has some goal before him. He is working to please someone, every one of us, either to please our own nafs. Can our nafs give us any reward of what we are doing for it? The best among us are those who invest themselves completely in their children, living for their children, working for their children, all their efforts, earning what for? For the family. You are living for your family. You are working for your family. One of my relatives, he was my maternal uncle, he used to say, "Main to apni aulaad ka roti kapde par mulazim hu." You know this term? Roti kapde ka mulazim. There used to be servants in the families. They were given only the food and the dress. No cash reward, no cash salary. Well, these are your requirements. You'll get your meals, you'll get the clothing, and you are working whole time. So everybody is a servant for his family on roti and kapda. What does he get? His two or three meals a day and the dress that he wears, that's all. All the rest is for the family. So you are working for your family. Will your family be able to reward you? How many of us in their old age, they have to repent? I had all the hope from this son of mine, what he is doing today. He is not even respectful to me. This is happening today. I invested myself in my family. What are they doing to me now? Actually, only one person for whom, whatever you do, he has the capacity to reward you fully, and that is Allah. None else. There was some wazir or minister of some English king who gathered money for him, from by hook and by crook. He filled his treasure, but in his old age, he was put in the prison. And there is a very beautiful saying that he said in despair, "Had I served God the way I served the king, he would not have disgraced me in my old age. Had I served God the way I served the king, he would not have disgraced me in my old age." But this you come to know when there's no use. Jab aankh khuli gul ki to mausam tha khana ka. The time has passed. Nothing was left with you. So it's the time to make the decision. Invest yourself for Allah. Dedicate yourself for Allah. Live for Allah, die for Allah. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alamin. Each and every moment of your life will be rewarded fully. Only He is capable of rewarding you. So why to settle for less? These words are being used. Never settle for less. You must get the full return of your money you are spending. So why to settle for less? The capabilities that Allah has given you, the understanding, the intelligence, the bodily strength to work, it is declining day by day. So make haste, make the best out of it, and never settle for less. Sawab min indillah, wallahu indahu husnus sawab. And it is only Allah with whom the real sawab, the proportionate sawab of your deeds and actions is present. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us the real iman, the real conviction. He makes us from ulul albab, ان فی خلق السماوات والارض.
A brother was saying, you know, did the Prophet used to say these words when rising for Fajr? The riwayah is for Tahajjud. But I told him, today you don't see the sky. Nobody sees the sky. Actually, it was a very natural type of thing. In our childhood, we remember we used to sleep on the tops of our houses, on the roofs. So when our eyes opened in the morning, we saw the sky first of all. And when the eyes open and you say, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتِ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Now it corresponds to your observation and to the environment around you, because the life was natural. Anyhow, may Allah make us from the Ulul Albab and give us the strength to adopt this picture in our characters. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ.